This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency for the area affected by yesterday's 6.4 magnitude earthquake that was felt from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. Democratic candidate for the White House, Kamala Harris, speaking to reporters while on the campaign trail yesterday about the quake back in her home state.
I always praise and have to praise our first responders who immediately take action.
So far, no serious injury or major damage reported. President Trump highlighted a big Salute to America celebration on the National Mall on the 4th of July.
We celebrate our history, our people, and the heroes who proudly defend our flag.
The Secret Service says two protesters with the Revolutionary Communist Party were arrested for burning an American flag near the White House yesterday. And this is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also, additionally lost a little bit of weight on the program as well.
Hi, this is Erickson. I take Calitrin for weight loss, and I've lost about 20 pounds, and I feel great.
Calitrin is scientifically proven to help with sleep and weight loss safely and effectively. Check it out at toploss.com. That's toploss.com.
Among the Democratic candidates who were campaigning on America's birthday was frontrunner Joe Biden, who spoke in Iowa and referred to the signing of the Declaration of Independence back in the day and the need for political unity now.
Ben Franklin supposedly said this at the signing in Philadelphia. He said, "We must all hang together, or most assuredly, we shall all hang separately."
That's right.
Well, that is my message to the Democratic Party and all people who want to see a change in this administration. We need to unify this country. We have to overcome the status quo of division. That's the way we're going to get things done.
Department of Justice officials facing a 2 p.m. deadline today to explain how they plan to put a citizenship question on the 2020 census after the Supreme Court ruled against it last week. President Trump now saying in recent tweets he's not giving up the fight to put that question on the survey. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A suspect's in custody after stabbing several people at a Virginia plasma center. Witnesses telling police the man walked into the Octapharma plasma center in Petersburg yesterday afternoon and started attacking people. One person saying that the office manager took the suspect down before police arrived. One of the victims is reportedly in critical condition. Police say there was really no threat, but chaos broke out at a 4th of July show in Miami as officers were called to investigate a suspicious package behind the Bayfront Marketplace. It turned out just to be a suitcase, but videos on Twitter show dozens of police and crowds of people running from the area. Hundreds had been there to watch fireworks at the time. They ended up having to end earlier than scheduled. Miami Dolphins defensive tackle Kendrick Norton has lost an arm in a car crash. His agent says in a tweet Norton is recovering from the crash that required his left arm be amputated. The 22-year-old had played for the University of Miami before being selected by the Carolina Panthers in 2018. And a burger-eating champ defends her title as in Washington, D.C., Z-Burger held its 10th annual burger-eating contest, and Molly Schuyler won it, eating 32 in 10 minutes. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Attention timeshare owners. Are high maintenance fees driving you crazy? Well, how would you like to rent or even sell your timeshare and eliminate your maintenance fees? Now you can by making one quick call to Timeshares by Owner, a national company with an A+ BBB rating that specializes in helping consumers sell or rent their timeshares. And if you call right now, we'll give you a free timeshare market evaluation and explain to you our exclusive double your money back guarantee. Now you don't need to be wasting money on a timeshare you don't always use. You can rent or even sell it. Call right now and get your free market report and learn about our industry-leading double your money back guarantee. Learn your options now on how to sell or rent your timeshare and eliminate most of the cost and headaches. Call now. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Live. Hey, it's the way we roll. I hope you had a great 4th of July celebration. Great time with friends here in Florida, let me tell you. Lots of fun, lots of celebrating. We even got together, as I mentioned to you, and we read the Declaration of Independence. You know, good time for everybody. I think first time for a lot of people that were there to do this as a group. So it was really a really special experience. And I recommend that to everybody, is that, on important dates that we go through, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, it's a good time to reconnect with the Declaration of Independence and also the U.S. Constitution. Of course, coming up in September, we'll have Independence U.S. Constitution Day, and a perfect time again to reconnect, because that is something that is just part of our lost heritage that we are, it's up to us. I mean, this is the government up for by we the people. It's not like the government is saying, hey, you can't read the Declaration of Independence or U.S. Constitution anymore. Hey, with us right now, Major General Mary Eder, a U.S. Army retired, the former Army Deputy Chief of Public Affairs, currently a national spokesperson for OurCitizensCounts.org. General, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great to have you. Hope you had a great 4th of July. Good fun with everybody?
Absolutely.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it is a special time, that we get together and remember that, our freedom is not free, that many have gone before us. And, you look back on our rich history, General, and, we're just blessed to be Americans. I mean, so much so that, other people know it. And that's why they're storming our borders and creating all kinds of chaos right now.
Well, certainly, I think many people want to become American citizens because this is the land of opportunity.
Well, it's proven itself time and again, exactly. I mean, as Ronald Reagan said, we are that, that shining light on a hill, that beacon that is has been welcoming to immigrants. But like in anything that makes sense, Major General, is that we, you want to know the people coming in, are they going to add or take away? Are they friend or foe, right?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, the immigrants have been part of the U.S. military since the very beginning. They've been in every war since the Revolutionary War. In the Civil War, more than 20% of the Union Army was made up of immigrants. Over 500,000 served in World War I. And after both World War I and World War II, by presidential order, over 120,000 were naturalized or awarded citizenship.
And even,
certainly that's the goal for many to serve, I think.
Right. And even today, I'm saying, is it not, the case that people, immigrants who have served in our military, that they get an expedited pathway to citizenship, do they not?
That has been the case. And I think it has been expedited, particularly in 2002, when President Bush that after 9/11, we want to make sure that those who serve have that opportunity and that we help them move along towards citizenship. Mm-hmm. We're seeing that start to change now. And as you said, this is cultural and things do change.
Well, right now, the culture is getting pounded with a lot of information, and there is increasing sensitivity about immigration and what's happening, and we need to be careful not to compromise the good, if I can say, the good immigrants, the immigrants that are contributing. In this particular case, we're talking about a problem that we've had that, you know, even ICE is getting, you know, they're so overwhelmed at the border and overwhelmed with all these policies and everything that they're starting to make some mistakes, are they not?
That's what I've seen in the news, yes.
Mm-hmm. So explain to our audience what's going on, because we've got veterans that are being deported, and we're going, wait a minute, and it's there seems to be some confusion here. So let's clarify this and address this issue, because certainly with the debate on immigration right now, all this gets thrown into the mix.
It does. Now, I'll tell you that while we talk about serving in the military, there's less than 1% of Americans who do serve.
Exactly.
So we call ourselves the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I can quote to you from the president's speech yesterday, he said, "The future of American freedom rests on the shoulders of men and women willing to defend it."
Mm-hmm.
Now is the chance to join our great military. So
right.
Make a great statement in your life.
Exactly.
Now, immigrants have come in to join the military as seeing it as a path to citizenship. It isn't all that easy, and it is in many ways to be a soldier or member of any of the other armed services. It's a hard life. It's a tough road. In addition to serving honorably, because that is the requirement, you must also be a permanent resident, know U.S. history and government, read, write, speak English, and demonstrate good moral character for 5 years. Now, everybody who comes into the military raises their right hand and swears to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Exactly.
This is a values-based organization, and I certainly think that those who come into the military and do all of those things and serve honorably and serve well deserve that opportunity to be able to apply for citizenship. And even their families are granted what they call parole. If they're undocumented, it gives them the opportunity to become a permanent resident and have that pathway for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that start to change. I don't believe that it is a good thing to deport veterans who have met all of those requirements, made all of those contributions, and are eligible for citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they should be deported if they have done all of that.
Exactly. Well, it's a promise made. And we are, you know, I think by tradition, promise keepers. And we need to follow up on that to make sure that that is cleared up. And as you mentioned, 1% of the nation's citizens, you know, participate in the military. I think that's a problem, because, you know, we should all be defenders of the Constitution and defend our Constitution against all threats, foreign and domestic. You know, that should just come with citizenship, not just in the military. And, you know, I've maintained, and people understand this, being, you know, former military myself, former Marine, that, we came, you know, we have a family, you know, starting with our father was, you know, World War II with Patton at the Battle of the Bulge as a medic, and my two older brothers, my oldest brother served in the Air Force as a career, and my second oldest brother was in country, and all three of us were in, you know, Vietnam era vets. I was the lone brother that didn't have to go overseas because of my broadcast career. I ended up doing Good Morning Camp Pendleton, so it kept me out of harm's way in that sense. But you know, we all serve the military, and we've had a tradition of serving the military and serving our country in our family. And I believe that we were blessed to do that. And it's you know, it's one of those things, General, that you. It was such a value that you want everybody in America to be able to participate, because not only do they have skin in the game, but as you say, the values that, you know, that the military learn, you know, in their experience in serving the country is invaluable, not only to them and the country, but to their family as well, right?
Absolutely. I do know that there is a bill in Congress now that will permit these veterans to return and apply for citizenship. Because, as you know, being a veteran, you also have veterans' benefits.
Exactly.
And you can't access them once they're deported.
General, we got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Major General Mary Eder right here on Bill Martinez Live. 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
When you have a pain in the neck,
ugh,
a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Looking for high-speed internet where you live but are out of reach of cable and fiber options? Look no further. High-speed internet is now available in your area. As your local authorized HughesNet retailer, Whole Home Connect makes it easy to get the high-speed internet you need with blazing fast speeds, unlimited data with no hard data limits, with built-in Wi-Fi for as little as $2 a day. Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with HughesNet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why HughesNet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
July 1st through the 7th, Quantum Nutrition Labs is holding our largest sale of the year. 35% off when you buy three or more of any dietary supplements. Multivitamins, calcium, vegetarian proteins, fermented organic turmeric, and over 100 other dietary supplements all on sale. When you buy three or more, you get 35% off. This July 1st through the 7th only. Call 888-588-7578. 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, we got a great jobs report announcement. Lots better than expected. Boy, it's going to be a tough one, you know, I think for the Democrats to defend here as, you know, the Trump economy continues to roll on. 224,000 jobs added in June. So the recovery here in this country continues at a strong pace. Fresh and independent, we are at 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here, and Major General Mary Eder continues with us. U.S. Army retired, former Army Deputy Chief of Public Affairs, currently a national spokesperson for our CitizenshipCounts.org. General, tell our audience about our Citizenship Counts. What's it about?
This is a nonprofit organization that exists to educate people about the census and about the questions involved in it, the history, what it means, and why the question should be added back in.
Now, I tell you, most people, and at least that I speak with, reasonably do not understand why this has become a political problem in terms of asking a question. I mean, after all, this is about government services, government representation, and somehow illegals are having as much weight as citizens. So it's almost as if citizenship comes with no benefit.
Well, I think people don't understand why the question is an issue, Bill, because why shouldn't we have it? It was in the census for most of the 20th century. It only changed, I think, in 2010 when the long form was changed for the shorter form, and it was still asked in a different form with the community survey after that. So to me, it's an administrative action. Like all of the questions, if you don't want to answer it, don't answer it.
Mm-hmm.
But the citizenship question, because citizenship is important, just tells us how many people vote.
Right.
Are eligible to vote. The other one of the other purposes of the census is to help Congress, because the Census Bureau is a statistical organization. So the information they provide to Congress helps them make decisions about population moves and shifts, how people travel around the country and resettle, what areas are losing numbers, what areas are gaining. So this affects infrastructure, health care, roads, a lot of things that are needed to provide support to areas of increased population and also to recognize where population is changing.
What was, as best you can understand, Justice Roberts' conclusion on this? And, you know, and this seems to be all colored in a way wrongly because there was a consultant on this that used a sentence that said if this was added, that this would be an advantage to the Republican Party. Maybe a sidebar comment, but boy, it seemed to have an effect. The Democrats took that statement and ran with it, and it seemed to, kind of murk up the waters on this whole issue in terms of the census. Why shouldn't we know who are citizens and who are not citizens in this country? Because we keep hearing, in fact, Joe Biden the other day quoted the line that, we have 11 million illegal immigrants. Well, they've been saying 11 million illegal immigrants for decades, it seems now. And with all the people coming in and storming our border, even now, I got to imagine that number is a lot bigger than that. And even, decades ago, you heard a number, vacillating between 11 and 13 million. Well, there's no way there's just 11 million people. I mean, we have no idea. And last I checked, this doesn't seem to be a way to run a government, does it?
You're right about how murky all of the questions are surrounding the addition of this simple item to the census. And it makes it very difficult to say, why should we do this or why shouldn't we? It doesn't increase the cost of administering the census. And I think it can have, as you said, some definite advantages to understanding where people are who vote. And, of course, the other issue is it may affect congressional redistricting, depending on population gains or losses.
Mm-hmm.
So we can see how that works. But I'll tell you, I do genealogy, so I was looking at the 1880 census where my great-grandfather and great-grandmother came into this country. Mm-hmm. My great-grandmother was never a citizen. She never naturalized. She couldn't vote. Why would she?
Right.
So I read the 1880 census, and I look at some of the questions on that, and they are extremely personal. They ask about who was, and I'm using their language, who was crippled. That's how I found out my great-grandfather had only one eye.
Oh, wow.
you know, very personal questions about capabilities. Is anyone in this family going to school? What age are they going to school? If they died after June of this year, we don't count them. If they were born after June, we will count them. So it's very different how the census was administered, I think, in the early days. And those questions, and they did not also count, I mean, Native Americans. So it was very different.
Right.
And I think each one is different in some ways. But it goes to what the country needs to know and why.
And I guess the why is, why would we not?
I agree with you. Why would we not?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, has it just become so political, and we're protecting, you know, congressional seats here? I mean, it's been estimated that as many as six seats could be lost with the elimination of the illegal immigrant count in the state of California alone. And of course, we know how powerful, you know, California has become, you know, the liberal coastal states, whether it's New York or California, just to cite two, you know, that there's quite a lobbying effort. And, of course, they're going to yell and scream because they're not about to give up seats, you know, that they've, you know, fought this hard and they've worked against the rest of the country in order to, in a sense, kind of appropriate, have they not?
You know, I'm not a very political person after all of these years in the military.
Well, yeah,
I'm conservative in some ways.
You're probably safe. I understand. I'm sorry. I don't mean to drag you into this.
No, I know. So I just look at things from the very basic. Is this a question that is logical, has been asked before, and has a purpose? And the answer is yes, so why not do it? Can it have results? Yes. Can not asking it have results? Yes. So the more information we have, the better off we are and the better able we are to make decisions. That's all it is to me.
Well, we just went through all kinds of insanity about Russian interference, for example. And, you know, and the big takeaway is, you know, for some, they want to insist that the Russians, you know, interfered in to an incredible amount to where it actually influenced who became president of the United States. Now, you're in the public affairs field, and you did this as a Army Deputy Chief of Public Affairs, and you know as well as I do that $150,000 of expenditure on a couple of Facebook ads is not going to move much, not going to have much impact, is it?
No, we didn't have Facebook when I was there.
Right. No, but you know.
I did.
But you know whether it's you're buying media time or radio time or scheduling anything like that, that $150,000 of any media purchase is nothing. And but yet we want to, you know, they want to tell the people that, oh, yeah, that, you know, it greatly had an effect. And this is, again, probably more political stuff than you want to get into. But it just, at the end of the day, where is the common sense in all this? And if we're here to protect the integrity of the voting process of our country, then we need to know who's here, who's getting votes. I mean, in California, they started ballot harvesting. And, you know, one party didn't know that that was even in play. Well, they found out the hard way after they lost, I think, six seats that, yeah, it was very much in play. And that, again, compromises, to me, that compromises the whole idea of voting integrity more than $150,000 brought to you by the Russians, oh, by the way.
And, you know, I'd rather look ahead than back at the last election. Let's look ahead and see how we're protecting our election process and the integrity of voting in our next election.
Well, I'm glad you said that, General.
Let's make sure that people are informed.
Yeah, because we've been saying that from day one, is that we're so caught up in this bucket of gum here. What are we doing to fortify, you know, the process to where we have a good and proper election process? General, I look forward to having you back because we need to talk more about what's been happening unfairly to these, you know, illegal vets, immigrants who served, you know, our military and are being unfairly treated. So I look forward to continuing that conversation.
Bankers and elites have scoffed at the prospect of cyber or cryptocurrency for decades. In spite of this, cryptocurrency has continued to grow and become a viable alternative to traditional banking and money. Now, surprise, those same elites are realizing they got it wrong and, like the housing bust, are starting to invest big time. And guess what? You got it. Cryptocurrency. As they say, follow the money. Many other independent and forward-thinking investors have seen and are realizing the cryptocurrency investment advantage. And here at BillMartinezLive.com, we're making it easy for you to educate yourself and find out how cryptocurrency can become a part of your future and how a small investment could turn into big returns for you and your family. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on the Crypto Profit banner ad, and get all the information you need to take advantage of this money paradigm shift. Remember when you could buy Amazon, Facebook, and Google for dollars? That was another paradigm shift. So don't miss out. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on the Crypto Profit banner.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
California Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a state of emergency for the area affected by yesterday's 6.4 magnitude earthquake that was felt from Las Vegas to Los Angeles. Democratic candidate for the White House, Kamala Harris, speaking to reporters while on the campaign trail yesterday about the quake back in her home state.
I always praise and have to praise our first responders who immediately take action.
So far, no serious injury or major damage reported. President Trump highlighted a big Salute to America celebration on the National Mall on the 4th of July.
We celebrate our history, our people, and the heroes who proudly defend our flag.
The Secret Service says two protesters with the Revolutionary Communist Party were arrested for burning an American flag near the White House yesterday. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055. 800-854-1055.
Once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
Well, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Are we looking at the death of politics as we know it? Some might cheer that because what we've known of politics of late has been, as some would say, no bueno. And our next guest, Peter Wehner, talks about how to heal our frayed republic after Trump. He is a veteran of three Republican administrations and one of the earliest conservative critics of Donald Trump's presidential run. Pete passionately and eloquently argues that the great American political tradition is dying with catastrophic consequences. Peter Wehner, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, good to have you here. Looking at politics, it just didn't happen in Trump. I mean, the death of politics has been going on for decades. Would you say not?
Yeah, in fact, I argue in the book that a lot of these trends that have happened are not because of Donald Trump. They, in some senses, produced Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
What I do blame President Trump for is amplifying and some of those worst tendencies, but he came into the presidency for a reason. It wasn't as he came out of nowhere. There was a lot of discontent with politics, the political class, how things were going, and there was a tremendous impulse for change in 2016. He was the change candidate, and mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton was the establishment candidate, and I think that explains was.
In previous administrations or previous opportunities for the public to look at a change agent, it happened within the body politic. But this, I think, what has got to be the first time in the modern era when you're talking about change that you know, people voted in somebody who was totally outside of the Beltway and the nuances of the political process.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the closest parallel would be Dwight Eisenhower, but that was profoundly different because Eisenhower, planned the Normandy invasion and was general. So we've never had anybody quite like Donald Trump, and he came in promising to turn the system on its head. The question is, change can be needed and necessary. The question is whether Donald Trump is a change for the better or the worse. I argue in the book that by and large he's a change for the worse. I think there's a somewhat nihilistic impulse, an idea that you're going to burn the village down to save it. And I think some of his promises, like draining the swamp, have not only not come to pass, but he's putting larger alligators in that swamp.
So you agree a swamp exists?
Oh yeah, to some extent. I mean, it always does because right. There is a political class for sure, and there is a bureaucracy, and there are people who lobbyists and so forth who act in ways that don't always advance the public interest. But that's always the case, not just in American history, but in the history of any free society.
Right.
And so the question is, and I think the proper conservative approach, and I'm a lifelong conservative, is to be an advocate for reform, but it has to be responsible reform and informed reform. And for Donald Trump, I don't think he has any mastery of issues or the intricacies of government, and I don't think government in that sense is running better. But I'm certainly always open to making things better, as I argue in the book, and I'm certainly happy to argue now that there are things that have not gone well, and we can do better in every realm. Indeed, prior to Trump, I was part of a group of so-called reform conservatives who were advocates for reform in all areas of government.
Well, we just came off of 8 years of a president saying that he was going to fundamentally transform the country. And it was painful what we experienced 8 years under Barack Obama. And so we go from one extreme to another. What is Donald Trump, by his administration, his personality, what is he exposing about the political process here in our country today?
Well, I think the reason that he came into being was, as we were talking about, which is the political process is not running as efficiently as it ought to. We're as polarized as we've ever been in the modern era. We know that since Reconstruction after the Civil War. And the kind of compromise that has marked the best of the American political tradition, including the Constitutional Convention, which was really the signal achievement when it comes to compromise, that's really not happening. But my argument is that Donald Trump is making us more polarized, more angry, more upset, and we're sort of at each other's throats. Again, he's not responsible for those feelings, but he is a person, unlike any other president I can think of, who seems to thrive, who gets this kind of psychic satisfaction from creating divisions. And also, to a degree I've never seen in a president, he's made no appeal to people beyond his base. He has run, his presidency has been conducted, and his campaign will be run almost exclusively on energizing his base, touching on the cultural flashpoints that matter to them. And I think that there's a cost to the country for that, and I think there'll be a political cost for Republicans to that. There certainly was in 2018. We'll see about 2020.
Pete, so you think that when he went to Black America and said, look, you just came off of 8 years of having the first Black American president, how did that work for you? Why not give me a chance? You don't perceive that as trying to expand his base?
No, I don't think he has expanded his base, and I think that's evident in the polls. You've got this rather odd situation where the economy is doing reasonably well. He's doing poorly. And I think the reason he is because he's been a deeply polarizing figure. And remember, what he did in 2011 was he came forth with a crackpot conspiracy theory that Barack Obama wasn't born in the United States. That was really his entry point into the political stage. I actually wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal back in 2011, warning about that kind of thing with the Republican Party. So this is a person who, on the issue certainly of race and culture and ethnicity, hasn't been a healing agent and hasn't made an effort to expand his base.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with what you're presenting here, but, you know, if we go back and look at the genesis of the birth certificate issue, it was Hillary Clinton that first brought that up, and she took it down almost as quickly as she brought it up.
Right, but let's assume that that was completely true. If it was crackpot for her to do it, it was wrong for Trump, and Trump amplified it in a way that she never did. He kept coming back to it again and again and again, and long after it was obvious that that was not an issue, that Barack Obama was born in America, Trump kept insisting that he wasn't, and he came up with this manufactured story that that he was sending investigators there. But beyond that, I do think that what ought to trouble conservatives in particular, but every American, it's not just that that Trump tells lies, but it's an avalanche of lies, not just that he attacks truth, but it's an all-out effort to annihilate truth. That is a hallmark of his presidency. That's something that conservatives once upon a time stood up against. I'm old enough to remember when the conservative movement were champions of objective truth and against moral relativism. And now with Donald Trump, day after day after day, lie after lie after lie, large, small, personal, professional, unending, trivial matters, important matters, conservatives should be able to say, if they have the integrity to say it, which is, I agree with Donald Trump with his court appointments or his deregulation policies or his policies in charter schools. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what he's doing in terms of the transgression of ethical and moral norms and his assault on truth and dehumanization and the cruelty and the crudity, those things are wrong. And they're not doing it, and particularly, and I speak here as a Christian and an evangelical, the fact that so many leaders of the evangelical movement have not only been sort of voce silent in the face of these things with Donald Trump, but go forward to defend him all the time for everything he does and never hold him to account. I think that's insane on the evangelical movement, and I think the conservative movement can do better and be better, and it should.
Well, I agree that what should drive this, and I agree that what would heal our country is a true, honest, and passionate search for the truth. And if we can hold to that ideal, I think it would go a long way in whether it's Donald Trump or whoever comes after Trump, even looking at the history of our country. You know, you brought up a couple of points that, you know, people still question to this day, and some of these questions were introduced by Barack Obama himself. And I'm not trying to go tit for tat. I'm only just saying is that we have been lied to for a long time. And I think sometimes when that happens, people wonder, who can they believe?
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Attention, this is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Peter Wehner continues with us. He's a contributor to the New York Times opinion section and The Atlantic, covering American politics and conservative thought, and a popular media commentator on politics. His brand new book, The Death of Politics, How to Heal Our Frayed Republic After Trump. Peter, do you think that we've lost the vision of what politics is supposed to be and what it's supposed to produce?
Yeah, I think we have, and I think all of us are responsible for that. People in both parties and all ideologies. Politics is a complicated thing, and it's got different aspects, and it's certainly got its downsides. But what I argue in the book is that politics is finally and fundamentally about justice, and justice always matters. And if you get your politics wrong, so much of what we love and care for and have devoted our lives to can be swept away. And at the same time, if we get our politics right, it allows for human flourishing and human dignity. And I do worry, and I do push back against this in the book, is a notion of corrosive cynicism and fatalism, in the sense that there's nothing we can do. There's, in fact, a lot that we can do, and citizens who demand more will yield politicians who offer more. But we have to be willing to fight for the things that matter. We have to fight for integrity, for truth, for honor, and for a whole series of principles.
Right.
That have been hallmarks of America. I also argue in the book, and this is important, which is context is key. There have been more difficult times in the history of this republic, a lot more difficult times than what we're in now. We've had the Civil War, 700,000.
Just for one.
A country of 29 million. That would be the equivalent of 7 million a day. The late 60s and early 70s, where you had riots in the streets, race riots, universities being taken over, Vietnam War, Kent State, which National Guard shot a student, the Democratic National Convention, Chicago, blood in the streets, the assassination of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. I went back and researching the book, in a period between 18-month period between 71 and 72, there were 5 domestic bombings a day in the United States. So we're not at that point, but things are frayed. There is an antipathy
And there's also a sense, which I've heard a lot of, you may well have too, which is a belief that a person who holds a view that's different than you isn't simply wrong, but that they're morally or
evilly
defective.
Exactly.
And it's a dehumanization, and it's a sense that this person's not my opponent, but they're my enemy. Right. And that's just dangerous. That's a kind of poison into the political bloodstream that we have to get rid of. But that, again, is up to us.
Well, and this is one thing that we have been pounding the drumbeat on in this radio show here, Pete, is that it's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It's the United States. I mean, e pluribus unum. It's what it's all about. You know, everybody brings their disparate views into the marketplace for discussion and debate so that we're better. I mean, when you look back historically, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, our founding fathers all got together and there was 100% agreement. They fought it out tooth and nail. And what I mean, you know, they debated the issue. I'm not talking about fighting it out like what, Biden has suggested is that there should be an all-out brawl on the streets of the country. I mean, to your point, it just speaks to how frayed the emotions are in our country. But I think it's because we've disanchored ourselves. We're untethered from, you know, the founding principles. And to me, even right now, you know, justice, the whole idea of justice is being weaponized. I mean, we're talking about reparations right now and things. And as one person was talking to me, you know, about reparations, I said, well, how do we repair, you know, all the non-blacks that fought for, you know, for slavery and died, you know, for slavery in this country? There's no doubt, there was a huge mistake here, and that's probably the understatement of the era to say it was a huge mistake. I mean, it was disastrous what has happened. But what makes it worse is that it's continued on for all these decades. And I believe that what I'm hearing is an inner cry from both sides, from people of all races, color, and creed, to say, look at, you know, I almost want to echo what Rodney King said in Los Angeles years ago. He said, why can't we just all get along? You know, but if we don't, you know, if we're not looking like what you're saying here, if we're not looking to the higher calling, and to me, it's liberty. To me, the litmus test is, are we freer? Are we less free as a result of any policy that comes down the pike? Any kind of debate and consideration? Are we furthering freedom for all? And freedom for all, what our founding fathers wanted and perceived, and I believe that we should hold to, is it is freedom for all. It's not at somebody else's expense, because then it's not freedom.
Yeah. No, I'd say a couple of things. I mean, you stated your case elegantly. The first thing is just on the history, which is important, to echo a point that you made. And my book's about ideas, but it's also about stories. Some of them are my stories, but most of them are stories from America. And I have a section where I talk about the Constitutional Convention. And it really is remarkable that you see the issues that divided them at that time. The things that we are facing pale in comparison to what they did, including the issue of slavery. And yet they were able to hammer out compromise. And without the Constitutional Convention, you'll remember that originally this was supposed to be an amendment to the Articles of Confederation, but that was just much too weak of a national government. So they had to come up with a new government, and that's what the summer of 1787 was about. So there are people that we can learn from, and we shouldn't overstate the differences we have now compared to historically. The other issue you raise, which is, you know, does a policy, you say, advance liberty? And that's certainly a fair point, and so much of the American ideal is liberty. But what people like you and I, who are either conservative or libertarian, have to keep in mind is what's the underside of liberty, or what are some of the collateral damages of liberty, and what do we owe collectively to people that are left behind? And that is the kind of discussion that one has. And of course, as a conservative, liberty is one virtue, but order and authority is another one. That's what separates conservatives from libertarians. And so traditionally, conservatives have not promoted certain policies that libertarians might, because they say freedom alone is not always the end game here, that there can be a human cost if you don't take into account other things. That's the kind of discussion, it seems to me, that we have to have. And
exactly.
For conservatives, you know, conservatism has been defined by Russell Kirk and by others as the negation of ideology. That is, it has traditionally, at its best, the Burkean conservatism, the conservatism of Oakeshott and Ronald Reagan and others, says it's not an abstract ideology that we're going to push for. It has to be anchored to human experience. Mm-hmm. You have to amend things as they go to take into account different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think in our politics, on both sides, people are simply throwing abstract principles at each other rather than saying, what are the real-world effects of a certain policy at this moment in time, and what can we do to make things better, and what do we have to stop doing to make things, to keep things from getting worse?
Pete, how are the communication channels affecting our ability to talk with one another and to have this needful conversation? Because I'm like you, we all have to be in on this deal. We all participate in the solution. As my dad used to tell me repeatedly when I was growing up, God in his wisdom did not give any one person all the goods.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's actually the wisdom of your dad is a big place to start. Again, this is, to me, a conservative virtue and a virtue for everybody, which is what's referred to as epistemological modesty. It's the sense that no one person has all the truth at their fingertips, and we all have things to learn from others. Let me tell you just one anecdote or one story that I have in the book, which is meaningful to me, it may be to you and your listeners. I talk about C.S. Lewis, who was a great Christian apologist and medievalist and author of children's books from the mid-20th century, and his relationship with the fellow named Owen Barfield. They were part of a group that Lewis started called the Inklings. And Lewis, in his book, Surprised by Joy, talks about what he refers to as first friends and second friends. He says, first friend is the person who's your alter ego. That's the person when you start the sentence, that person can complete it. You see the world very much the same way, and we all need that. That's part of what community is, and that's what encouragement and support can be. But then there's a second friend, according to Lewis, and he said, the second friend is the person who is not your alter ego, but your anti-self, the person who reads the same books as you do and draws all the wrong conclusions from them. And in his discussion, Lewis talks about he and Barfield going hammer and tong far into the night, and how you would learn the weight of the other person's punches. But then you begin to modify one another's thoughts. And then Lewis said, out of this perpetual dogfight, a community of mind and deep affection emerge. And the key here is that Lewis and Barfield both treasured their friendship precisely because they saw things somewhat differently than the other. And they felt like they could learn from each other, that there
exactly.
were perspectives that they had. And Barfield would later say that in argument, we always, both of us, were arguing for truth, not for victory. And that's really an attitude that we have to take into our lives, our theological lives, our political
right.
lives, our daily lives, which is there something that I can learn from another person? We rarely completely change our views, but we can get a better perspective and at least learn the perspective of other people that mm-hmm. helps us to understand where they're coming from.
When I built sales teams, Pete, I will tell you, what I did was create an environment to where strengths and weaknesses could be matched up along this line. Because the fact of the matter is people know, instinctively, what your strength is, what your weakness is. You're not hiding anything. But the opportunity is to be vulnerable enough to where strengths and weaknesses can match up. So as a result, as a manager, I could be a more effective manager when I allowed the strength of a sales or marketing professional come alongside and advance my thought in my area of weakness, and conversely, my strength in management could make them a more effective professional salesperson. And as a result, we were blessed to enjoy 5 winning seasons. So,
but there's a lot of wisdom in that. And to see that is a huge advantage.
Exactly.
It actually would make our political life better.
Without a doubt, Pete. I highly recommend this book, The Death of Politics, How to Heal Our Frayed Republic After Trump. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Peter Weiner on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
If you feel you've been lied to, pressured, or misled into buying your timeshare, you have the right to cancel completely. This is Steve Sanchez, and I'd like to introduce you to Wesley Financial Group, the leading top-rated timeshare cancellation company in the country. That's right, no more excessive fees or lifetime commitments that make you feel like you're serving a prison sentence. Founded by CEO Chuck McDowell, a pioneer in the industry, who went into federal court and won against the largest timeshare resort company in the world just to help you get out of your timeshare. Too good to be true? No. Countless testimonials and the highest ratings from the Better Business Bureau, make Wesley Financial Group the real deal, and their money-back guarantee they put in writing makes them the Steve Sanchez choice for successfully canceling your timeshare guaranteed. To get the free information kit, call 1-800-475-1919. That's 1-800-475-1919, or visit them at timeshare cancellations.com. That's 1-800-475-1919.